My name is Jo. It's very bright up here. If you don't know me, I work here at the church. If you're new to this space, I want you to feel welcome today. I want you to feel part of our family. And I just pray for all of us that we are able to receive what the Father has for us this morning. I'm going to be speaking about healing this morning, which is very exciting. So we are talking about walking in signs and wonders with the Holy Spirit. That is the topic for this term. And we kicked it off with Brad talking on walking in signs and wonders. And he explained that the mission of this church is transforming life through Jesus. So when we're talking about transforming life, we're talking about transforming our lives right now, as well as for all of time. And we're also talking about transforming life, transforming the world around us, overflowing God's love. And he explained our vision, and we're focusing on the third component of our vision for term four, which is on the wall up the back, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate the goodness of God, to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are. And when we're talking about going out of our way, we're not talking about going out of our geographical location. We're talking about going out of our way of our agendas, putting ourselves aside to demonstrate the goodness of God every day, wherever we are, walking out every day, wherever we are. And that's why this term we're talking about walking in signs and wonders with the Holy Spirit, because we are demonstrating the goodness of God, walking in signs and wonders with the Holy Spirit. Then we had John talking about making a case, and I'm going to turn around so I can read this big word. Making a case for continuationism. I cannot say that as beautifully as you, John. And talking about that Hebrew worldview, which is that concept that the supernatural and the natural can't be separated. That actually we live in a supernatural world and we have a supernatural God. And that Jesus' message to us wasn't just to come and to die and to forgive us for our sins and be raised to life again. It was so that he could tell us that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is available right here, right now. And then we had Brad sharing on God's part and ours. He showed a clip from Bill Johnson, a preacher in America at a church called Bethel. And that was talking about four key foundational beliefs. One, God is good. God is good all the time. Two, nothing is impossible. Three, everything was paid for at the cross. And Christ is infinitely significant. Therefore, I am significant because Christ lives in me. And then he talked about what our part to play is, and that is to pray and to actually live that out, to move from that place where we just know about something to where we walk in something and where we live it out. And today, I am going to be talking about healing. So I'm going to give you a little bit of options for further research. I am going to talk about Matthew, give a bit of context. I've got two passages in Matthew 8 and Matthew 9 that we're going to read. Some truths that we're pulling out from the story of Jesus healing a leper. Very mini word study on the Greek word ekbalo, and I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, and how we can get started with some practical tips, some prayer, and an activation in healing. All right, so I can't cover everything today, but I cannot recommend these two people more. If you'd like to know more about healing, these are two people who have incredible websites, who've written incredible books, and are just incredible anointed people with the healing gift. So this is Chris Gore and Randy Clark. Chris Gore has been to this church before, and I have never seen such an enigmatic speaker in my life. He was incredible. And I love this quote that him that says, "Today is a great day for a miracle." And I loved what you were saying, Michelle. Who is expecting a miracle today? I am expecting a miracle today, because today is a great day for a miracle. And then Randy Clark, whose life work is just releasing God's love here on this earth. And I love this comment from him that the great commandment to love must come before the great commission to do. But anyway, if you want to dive into that a bit more, you can. So I wanted to give some context in the passages before we dive into them. So early Matthew, you have a list of Jesus' genealogy, so his family background. You have the story of his birth. You have the story of his early persecution from Herod and his son. You have the story of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, and how he's baptizing people and he's telling people that there is someone coming who is greater than he that is going to be baptizing people not in water but with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus comes along, John baptizes Jesus, and then Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where he's tempted by the enemy. He's tempted by the devil. He remains faithful and he comes out of the wilderness preaching the gospel. God's kingdom is at hand. And once he started preaching the gospel, he calls disciples and he starts confirming the gospel by displaying healing miracles. And then he leads into the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount is a couple of chapters which is essentially are talking about a new reality. So ever since that point in time, Jesus came to invite us into a new reality. The first chunk of the Sermon on the Mount is all about Jesus saying, it doesn't matter what's happening around you, it doesn't matter what's happening to you, what matters is that I am now with you and I will always be with you. This is your new reality. And just a key verse that I wanted to pull out from Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 is, your lives light up the world. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. Everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them. It's that transforming life concept. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. Just a quick overview of Matthew 8 and 9. I would love to read you the whole two chapters, but we might be here for a while. So instead, I've put it in this little summary. So this is straight after the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus walks down from the mountain. He heals four people. Then he goes across the sea. The sea starts getting big. Jesus tells it to calm down. Then he does three more healings. Then he calls Matthew as a disciple and he starts dining with the outcasts. So anyone who's outcast in society, Jesus starts hanging around. And he starts teaching again on this concept, but talking about a wineskin, talking about this concept of this is a new reality. I am making things new. And then Jesus does five more healing miracles. And then he asks the disciples to pray for more workers. So if you imagine it like this, Jesus has come. He's preached the gospel that the kingdom is at hand. He's displayed, he's confirmed his message with these signs and miracles, these healing wonders. And now he is talking about workers and the harvest. So what he's talking about here is he's talking about asking the disciples and all of us asking, praying for more reapers of the harvest. So reapers of the harvest are people, he's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. People are listening. People are wondering. We need people shining that light, transforming lives around them so that they will know that my Father loves them. And key verse I pulled out from there was Matthew 8, 14 to 17. Oh, and then Jesus actually sends out the disciples in Matthew 10. He tells them to go heal the sick for themselves. So instead of Jesus just healing the sick, he says, you go, you heal the sick and perform other miracles. So Matthew 8, 14 to 17, Jesus entered Peter's home, found Peter's mother-in-law bedridden, severely ill with a fever. The moment Jesus touched her hand, she was healed. Immediately she got up, began to make dinner for them. And that evening the people brought to him many who were demonized. And by Jesus only speaking a word of healing over them, they were totally set free from their torment. And everyone who was sick received their healing. In doing this, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He put upon himself our weaknesses. He carried away our diseases and made us well. So Jesus came not only to take away our sin, he also came, hallelujah, to take away our diseases and make us well. Beautiful. All right, Matthew 8, Jesus heals a leper. So I'm just going to share a passage from Matthew 8 and a passage from Matthew 9 and just a couple of things that came out to me, drew out to me, God pointed out to me, and then we're going to move into some practical tips and an activation. So Matthew 8, Jesus heals a leper. After he came down from teaching on the hillside, massive crowds began following him, and suddenly a leper walked up to Jesus, threw himself down before him in worship and said, "Lord, you have the power to heal me if you really want to." Jesus reached out his hand, touched the leper and said, "Of course, I want to heal you. Be healed." And instantly all signs of leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't speak to anyone. Go at once, find a priest, show him what has happened to you. Make sure to take the offering Moses commanded so he can certify your healing." So a couple of things I felt like God pointed out to me was one, that Jesus always wants to heal. Jesus always wants to heal. He's always in a healing mood. He is our healer. He wants to heal every part of us. And I love this story where Jesus doesn't only heal the physical aspect of the man, but he says, "Go to a priest." So this man who had this skin disease would have been ostracized from society. Nobody would have wanted to be near him. He was a literal outcast living on the edge of society. And Jesus told him to go to a priest so that he can certify that you are clean, so that he can certify that you are healed. Jesus healed not only this man's physical person, but also his circumstances, also his heart, the whole rest of his life. It transformed him. The leper threw himself down in worship in front of Jesus. This is such a story that emphasizes what worship really is. Worship not being certain songs on a Sunday morning, a certain style of music, or only when we gather together, but this idea of a lifestyle of worship where we orientate ourselves to the Father and remember who he is. The word there that the leper uses for Lord is Kyrios. And again, I'm sorry if I'm butchering Greek. But what it means, it's the relation between a master and a servant. So it's reminding ourselves that we have someone, it's a relationship where you're reminding yourself that there is someone else in control. God is in control. God is always in control. And it's this concept that everyone is invited. Come as you are. That's one of our taglines of our family, and I really appreciate it. As you would notice most mornings, I do come as I am, and I thank you for that. And it's really important in this story. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. When everybody else ostracized this leper walked right up to Jesus, and Jesus laid his hand on him in love. You can come as you are to your Father. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been. You can come as you are. Even more so now than the leper, we have direct relationship with him. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have that promise of God forevermore. We are in direct relationship with him. He wants us to come with him to him with the little stuff and the big stuff. Like when I bought something in the mail that I'm excited about, God often talks to me about what I wear, and often that package will arrive a lot sooner than what it should have. And on a morning when I can't think of what to wear, it's like he's just reminding me of how much he loves me. Just like he reminds you of how much he loves you. We are in direct relationship with him. He cares about the little things as well as the big. Jesus calls us to throw ourselves down and follow him. Did you notice in that story that after the Sermon on the Mount, when people had been listening to a message for a long time, instead of going back to clean their house or pick their kids up from school or finish that job at work, massive crowds just continued to follow Jesus. We are called to just continually follow Jesus, not that the stuff of life isn't important, but that God is our focus. And healing is a demonstration and a living testimony. Just like the stories in the Bible, I love that the Bible is a living word. I often hear people say that the gospel is the same thing, which is why they preach the same thing over and over. Yes, the gospel is the same message, but it's actually a living word. And what that means is that God has fresh revelation every time you read his word, whether it's the first time you've read it, whether it's a thousand times you've read it. God has revelation. He has wisdom and knowledge that he is imparting to you every time you read it. And that's the same for a testimony. Whether it's a story in the Bible, whether it's a story that happened in your life 10 years ago, whether it's a story that's happening in your life right now, every time you share or you hear a testimony, God is breathing fresh truth on that, fresh life on that, fresh Holy Spirit on that, fresh faith on that. Just like when this leper had to go to the priest and the priest had to certify that he was clean. It wasn't only the leper's life that was changed, it was the priest's as well and everybody in the community around him. Just quickly, I want to just draw attention to the fact that Jesus was homeless. Not in the sense that, did I not have that up on the screen? I'm so sorry. That was the slide for it. All right, Jesus was homeless. Why I'm pointing that out to you is, is because we are actually in a similar state to Jesus. And I don't mean that like we have this beautiful vision where the second part of our vision as a church is becoming unmistakably like Jesus, where we desire to become more like Jesus. But I also want to suggest to you that we are actually in a very similar situation to Jesus. So if you think about a particular, at that point in time in his life when he was here on the earth. So if you think about Jesus was the Son of God, yet fully man. We are the children of God, yet fully human. Jesus was stuck in the same place that we are, and he walked around in 2 days performing, I didn't even count them, but it must have been like 30 miracles. We are invited to walk around releasing in the power of the Holy Spirit signs and wonders just like Jesus did. And in fact, Jesus said that greater things are yet to come. The call on us, the invitation, and the things that he will see in the world are going to be even greater after him. So I don't know what's encouraging, if not that. Just looking at Matthew 9 for a minute, and it's talking about that workers of the harvest passage. I think I preach on it every time I'm up here, so I appreciate that living word option for you, and I ask for a fresh revelation. Workers for the harvest. Jesus walked through the region with the joyful message of God's kingdom realm. He taught in their meeting houses, and wherever he went, he demonstrated God's power by healing every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the vast crowds of people, Jesus' heart was deeply moved with compassion because they seemed weary, helpless, like wandering sheep without a shepherd. He turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is huge and ripe. There are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain." There's this really awkward sentence there, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted this word for me, and I just wanted to quickly explain this word. Plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. So when I read that passage, I think, well, God's inviting the disciples and us as his disciples to pray for people like ourselves and for other people, to tell people about the kingdom of God at hand. But why is he thrusting people out? What does that mean? And it's this Greek word ekbalo. And most of the time, It's used in the Bible, in the New Testament, by Jesus. And it's widely used when he's thrusting out demons from people, when he's delivering people from demons. It's quite an authoritative word. And it comes with a notion of violence, not physical violence, but a notion, a suggestion of violence. However, when it's used in this passage, the context actually translates the word to mean bid depart. So it's only used 7 out of 82 times where it's used in the Bible, and it means to compel to depart. So it still carries that same authority, but without violence. And it's a verb. It means moving from and with. And I feel like this is summed up in this Ephesians 2 chapter, which is bringing me almost to the end of my message. But in this Ephesians 2 chapter, there's a sentence at the end which I often forget. And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offences. It wasn't long ago that you lived in religion, customs and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. So it's talking about God is never violent with us. Can I just clarify? He is only ever violent with the enemy, with words. It's that concept that our enemy is not of flesh and blood. Our enemy is of the spirit realm. But God still loved us with such great love. No matter what we were like, God still loves us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our sins, he united us into the very life of Christ. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, you are united in the very life of Christ and saved by his wonderful grace. We don't have to work for it. He saves us by his grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one. We ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realms. When God saves us with his grace, he perfects us and gives us authority in the heavenly realm, seated, co-seated as one with him. And this is the sentence that I often forget. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered on us in Jesus Christ. So there's this concept here. We are not only seated in heavenly realms, but we are doing heavenly works. We're not only seated with Christ in the heavens, but we are also moving from and with Christ as we go. And I don't know about you, but I am very excited for a world where I type in healing and the first thing isn't a yoga meditation person that pops up. Not that I have anything against yoga, it's a great sport. But just in general, I would love for the church to be known as where places where people come and get healed. And I don't mean healing services, I don't mean a building with four walls, I mean the living body of Christ, demonstrating the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, co-seated with him in Christ, wherever we go, whatever we are doing. All right, so I'm going to end on a couple of tips to get us started. And I'm going to invite up a couple of people who are going to have some fun with me and you. All right, so how do we get started? We want to walk in the gift of healing. We want to walk in signs and wonders with the Holy Spirit. How do we actually do this? We need to be a channel of love from God. Without the love of God, we can't love the people around us. John 4 talks about how God is love. We need to overflow his love. the whole purpose of God confirming and demonstrating his kingdom has come is because God wants people to know that he loves them infinitely. We need to grow and hunger for more of God, like the disciples in Acts, where they're praying for more of the Holy Spirit and they're filled and speaking the word of God boldly. That's in Acts 4. Signs and wonders are done through the Holy Spirit. Yes, God partners with us, but it's the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled and refilled and constantly filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit, asking for more, being hungry for God. Hungry for God himself. We need to rest and have peace in God. Just like the passage in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank him for all he has done. There are going to be times where our external circumstances or things that are happening to us or even sometimes our internal world aren't going to feel like we're seated in heavenly places. But we need to invite God. We need to invite his peace. We need to trust and have faith in him. We need to pray, tell him what we need, thank him for all he's done. And you have gifts. I know we talked about gifts last year, but you have gifts, and you have gifts that God has given you to demonstrate his goodness and his love to the people around you. It's no coincidence that I'm talking on healing. My parents are up the back there and they can testify to the fact that ever since I was tiny, I've either wanted to look after cats or animals or people. You may or may not know, but my background is physio, and that's because I've always wanted to help people and see people healed. And now I get to do that in a different way with the church. I get to see more than physical things healed, and that's what we as the body of Christ get to see and get to pray and ask for. But God also has gifts for you. He has gifts that he's already given you. But if you want something, if you want a gift, you can ask. The Bible talks about how our Father gives good gifts to his children who ask. 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 7 says, "And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep it ablaze." God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts. We need to be like that passage from the start. We are the lamp. We are the light on the hillside, not because of us, but because of the one who is in us. All right. Thank you for listening. I am going to call up Nigel and Michelle. If you don't know Nigel and Michelle, they're my mother and father-in-law. But when I came to this, when I came to this church 15 years ago, they were also the people who first taught me about healing. And so I'd like to honour them and welcome them, and they're going to just share a couple of practical tips about how you pray for someone for healing. And then we're going to do it.
So good morning. So I'm Michelle.
I'm just a glorified bookseller.
Yeah, you are. So with a microphone, there you go. So you can interject if you feel you need to. So I've just got a really basic scaffold on actual prayer ministry. So later we're going to, if people have needs, we're going to just gather around them and pray in a group. There's also ministry from up the front. So, and there's a crossover in how we actually do that. So certainly if you're doing ministry up the front and probably even in your groups, we start by basically introducing ourselves and saying, "Hello, I am," and ask people's name. Ask what they would like prayer for. Don't presume if people come in on crutches that they're actually wanting prayer for a broken leg or something. It might be something totally different. We can ask how long they've had the condition and ask, have they seen a doctor and what did the doctor say? It's good to ask, what are the current pain levels? Or what symptoms or discomfort are you currently experiencing? And do they remember what was happening in their life when that condition happened? Because sometimes that can, like, leave us with a spirit of trauma. When we pray, before starting, it's always good to ask permission before laying hands on anybody. If the healing is due to pain in the body, sometimes it's in a spot that somebody wouldn't like you to put their hand, so you can always ask them to put their own hand on and you can put yours over the top of them. And always be mindful of not putting pressure on areas that are sore. If someone has arthritis in their hands, the last thing they need is for you to be putting your hand on their already sore hand. Then when we start to pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to come. And we can simply say, Holy Spirit, come. Or Holy Spirit, come with your healing power. Because it's not anything to do with us. It's all through us. We are purely the vessel that the Holy Spirit is working. So we let the person know, we will just wait a minute or two and wait on the Holy Spirit. Ask the person not to pray while you're praying, but ask them to focus on what's happening in their body. So there might be tingling or heat or some manifestation in their body. It's okay if there doesn't appear to be anything happening, but the Holy Spirit would still be at work. So then as we're going along, we can re-interview, just keeping an eye on what the Holy Spirit is doing, and just check in with the person and ask, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Can you feel anything? Is there any tingling? Is there any heat? Are you experiencing any healing? If it was a pain related and they gave you, I currently had a pain level of 7 and now it is down to 5, well, we praise Jesus for that. For any improvement, we just go, thank you, Jesus. And we testify to his goodness. If there has been a complete healing in this setting, it's really good. We will wave our hands and jump up and down and someone will come with a microphone and you can tell us what's been happening. Because if you testify of your healing and what's been happening in your body, it raises the faith in the room and we believe that the power of testimony is that Jesus likes to show off and do it again. If there's only been some improvement or no improvement, we pray again. It's okay to keep on praying until the Holy Spirit tells you to stop or the person that you're praying for makes it obvious that they've had enough. Sometimes there is very little improvement, but as people leave, there could be improvement 1 or 2 days later. If there's been a healing, we ask the person to go and get checked at the doctor, because sometimes there's been a healing that they were on medication for and we don't want people to stop medication or anything like that without getting checked first. And also it's obvious, just like the leper going to the priest, it encourages the doctor, it encourages the person, and it encourages everybody who knows them. And then, yeah, just encourage them, if they've had no healing, to just keep coming forward for prayer, to just keep on pushing in, because Jesus is our healer and it's his desire to heal. So I'll hand over to Nigel.
That was all a bit of an excerpt from training that we undertook with Randy Clark. We went down to his school of healing and we went overseas to Taiwan with him, and that was their basic framework to help you get started for praying for people. We saw some amazing, amazing things over in Taiwan that we were praying for. But even then, when we came back home, the practical side of things, of praying for people in your workplace, praying for your neighbours, praying for your friends, just remembering that you're not the one doing the healing. It's you, it's the Holy Spirit through you. All you're trying to do is show God's love to these people, to introduce them to the one that you have personally met, that you know has changed your life, to giving them that opportunity. I have prayed for many people through my various workplaces. I have never had anybody get really cranky at me for offering to pray for them. They're all very touched that I would think to do that for them. And then just that process of, you know, interviewing, asking how they're going, praying, seeing if there's any change, encouraging them to test, celebrating any change in there, and then when you get the major breakthroughs of confirming that with doctors. I think that would be my encouragement to you, is try not to focus on yourself, saying, oh, here am I setting myself up, and if this doesn't work, then I'm going to look bad. It's all God's stuff. It's all God's work, Holy Spirit's job. And you might just be in the position to be providing encouragement and healing to someone that God is wanting to work for and to attract and to show his love for. So I encourage you in that, to be brave and offer to pray. And if people go, no thanks, I'm good, then okay, you don't have to. But generally they will say, well, thank you, that would be lovely. And then you pray.
Fabulous, thank you. All right, I am aware that it is 10 past 11 and I'm hungry, and I'm sure you're hungry as well, but I'm also hungry for what God is about to do. So if you do need to duck out, that's fine, but I also don't want us to miss this opportunity, because today is a great day for a miracle. So what we're going to do is some gifts are caught and some are taught, and I'd like to invite someone else up who has a passion for healing. Michelle Clark, I see you. And she's going to pray for us, and she's going to pray for us to impart the gift of healing. And what that means is that just God is giving us a gift. God is giving us the gift of his Holy Spirit to heal through us. And then what we're going to do is we're going to invite anyone who has a healing need or anyone who knows of a healing need to stand. And we're going to come alongside you and pray with you. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi. Thank you, Father. We just surrender our hearts and our minds, our bodies to you today, Father. We thank you, Lord, you are a good, 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 good God. Thank you, Lord, you are the God who heals. Thank you, Father, that each person here would experience more of your love today. Lord, they would be overwhelmed by your love. They would see and experience and feel and know that you want to heal them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you demonstrated the Father's heart. You did what the Father did, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord. Every fear we put down, Lord, we just want to be bold. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are just going to move in this place today. There is nothing too difficult for you. Nothing. Thank you, Father. We just surrender ourselves today because we just want to display and show the goodness of God to people in and outside of the church. Thank you, Father.